connecting the dots. In the previous track, we discussed Bitterman's brainwashing patterns of behaviors as it related to your client's attempt to manage their manager or their great catch. On this track, we'll talk about techniques to further assist your client in connecting the dots of abuse. Here's the basic groundwork that sets the stage and makes connecting the dots of abuse such a therapeutic challenge as I see it. The basic premise upon which the abuse is based: many women think they are nothing without a man. Do you agree? Thus, they are unable to connect the dots, so to speak, of abuse. Dr. Rushenoff expands upon this basic underpinning upon which the Great Catch Theory is based. Her book is aptly titled, Why I Think I'm Nothing Without a Man. See if you can make the connection between Dr. Rushenoff's ideas and the therapeutic challenge you face in assisting your clients to recognize abusive behavior. Dr. Rushenoff states, Brenda, an architect, does have a man in her life, Josh. Brenda didn't have to tell me how successful she is. I had read a magazine article about her. But the Brenda who showed up in my office was not the confident, sophisticated architect depicted in the article. I don't know what's happened to me since my marriage, Brenda said. I used to go off on assignments on the other side of the world without even thinking about it. But now I try to get out of such projects. I want local ones. I'm just not happy unless I'm with Josh. If he can't go to a party and I go alone, I don't have fun. So I'd rather just stay home. And you know, we just got a new car. It's a sports car and I can't drive a stick. So I just let Josh drive it everywhere. And the worst thing is, we could afford another car, one I could drive. But I don't even want one. I like being chauffeured, but at the same time, I resent this symbol of my self-induced bondage. As Brenda's dilemma suggests, you don't have to live alone to think that you are nothing without a man. You don't have to be divorced or widowed or never married. You can live with a man and think that without this man, you would be lonely, socially inept, emotionally, and sexually barren. I've counseled a number of married women who absolutely had no lives of their own because their hopes and dreams and plans and daily routines revolved so tightly around those of the man with whom they lived. Do you see how Rushenoff's concept of a woman being nothing without a man is actually the underpinning behind the Great Catch concept? Most women know their significant other better than anyone else because they wrap their lives around their man or their great catch. Some use this knowledge to try to gain greater understanding of what she could do to make her great catch act differently. Regardless of how poorly they are treated, some women cling to the belief that they can bring the best out in their partner. Sound familiar? In fact, have you found, like I, the more extreme the controlling partner's actions, the harder your client may try to understand or control him. They create, as Rushenoff stated, a self-induced bondage. The point is, when you see a pattern conflicting with your client's goals of being happy, self-assured, with a raised self-esteem, how do you help connect the dots, so to speak, of abuse? By connecting the dots, I mean, how can you help your verbally abused client to connect the dots for themselves and identify and gain a perspective on the controlling abusive behavior which they are subjected to every day? Here are three perspectives I help my clients gain to connect the dots and to overcome the feeling that they are nothing without a man. First, to help them connect the dots, where do they stand in their relationship to potential? Think of the word potential. Do you have some clients that are living in the potential of the relationship rather than the reality of the relationship? They continue to try to manage the unmanageable manager or their great catch by looking for specific explanations and focusing on relationship potential rather than relationship reality. To accomplish this, I use a Gestalt exercise of focusing on the present. I ask the client, where do you feel tension is in your body right now? Describe that feeling. How often do you feel that tension? By increasing the client's awareness of how they actually feel right at the time when they're describing, for an example, an abusive incident, they become increasingly aware that how they feel in the relationship most of the time ranges from dis-ease to catastrophic thinking. Over a succession of sessions, they begin to connect the dots that they are focusing on the potential of the relationship rather than on the reality of the relationship when they make a connection with how they feel within their bodies. If you recall in the previous track, Jenny stated, I would try to remove anything that might be a cause for Tom to yell and get red in the face. I asked Jenny, do you feel you are living in more of a potential relationship than in a real current relationship? It helped Jenny to continue to believe her great catch will become even more of a greater prize, as she is confident the relationship will eventually improve. In other words, living in the potential is hindering Jenny from connecting the dots of abuse. So, what's a second step with your Jenny? Changing reacting and defending to action to help her to connect the dots. I wanted to refocus Jenny away from her denial of feelings, which kept her busily reacting and defending against Tom's attacks. One way Jenny had of denying her feelings was to search for the specific reason behind Tom's abusive controlling behavior. Jenny's looking for specific explanations helps her to feel she has goal-directed productive behavior. The more specific the explanation is, the more manageable Jenny felt the situation was with Tom. Think of a client you are currently treating. I pointed out to Jenny that no matter how specific of an explanation she tried to construct, she was still in the reactive mode and not taking action. However, as you know, in the case of physical abuse, the client's taking action against her abuser can lead to greater physical harm and even death. Ask yourself, is there a client you are currently treating that could benefit from being moved from reaction into action? That is, away from trying to seek specific reasons why, defending and reacting, feeling that he or she has goal-directed productive behavior when in fact it is non-productive or actually counterproductive. Step 3. Step 3 in connecting the dots of managing the unmanageable manager is through examining your client's if-only statements. Sound familiar? If only this, if only that. I call it if-only hoping. If some specific circumstances caused the great catch's bad behavior, then the significant other could believe that when the circumstances changed, he would be better. This is what I call the if-only thinking or the if-only formula. Denise, age 25, who had been married to Robert for 5 years, has 2 children, ages 3 and 5. She kept telling herself, if only traffic hadn't been bad, Robert wouldn't take it out on me. If only my 3-year-old hadn't dropped his cup of water when Robert was in the room, the evening would have been fine. If only I could be thin like Julia Roberts, we would have a great sex life. Such explanations gave Denise hope for change and a sense of being able to bring that change about. By hoping for less traffic, hoping her children would behave perfectly, and hoping for the perfect diet to give her the perfect body was all if only hoping. Question 7. What are 3 connect-the-dot perspectives?